Hello, I am Stephanie Hannah, and I am 30 years old. I'm a believer from Duluth Bible Church, and I want to share with you today how even though I was saved early, I made major mistakes in my life. I pray this story of God's unconditional grace towards a major screw-up can encourage you today. I'm so thankful that at a young age, I was able to understand God's simple message of salvation. I knew from Romans 3:23 that we were all sinners, but that Christ died on the cross for all those sins. From memorizing John 3:16, I saw that by simple faith alone in Christ alone, I could be saved. Amazingly enough, God tells us repeatedly that once we are saved, we are always saved. He made his message of salvation simple enough that even I, as a child, could understand and believe. Thanks to parents constantly telling me the gospel at home and a biblically sound Sunday school class, I was saved somewhere around the age of 5 years old. I was raised in a strict and very loving Christian home. Growing up in the church, I always heard every message. I went to every Bible school and happily attended every Bible camp. I participated in every fair ministry, and I loved every role I played in several Patch the Pirate plays. I'm not positive, however, if on a personal level I was enjoying the Lord as much as I could have been. I remember focusing a lot more on the social side of these functions. I do know that as a child, saved early and raised in a Christian home, I knew how to talk the talk and walk the walk, which always made me feel very moral and spiritual. I took pride in the fact that I spent the infamous 21st birthday ministering as a team captain at a Bible camp. I was very self-righteous about how I had decided to celebrate my 21st, thinking that I must be everyone's spiritual role model. I was incredibly proud of myself, but since it is stated in several verses that pride is a sin, God was disappointed. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall, it tells us in Proverbs 16:18. Of course, the Lord knew what he was talking about. My proud heart was indeed going to cause me to fall. I had many friends, both saved and unsaved, that had been begging me to go out to the bars. I had refused until I was nearly 22. This was the summer of 2008. In my mind, since both saved and unsaved alike were condoning it, it would be fine. I didn't live with my parents anymore, and unfortunately had nobody to answer to. I wrongly decided going to the bars a little would be harmless. I quickly found out that the bar scene was depressing for me because I was a very overweight girl. I heard loud and clear that all the world cared about were people who looked good on the outside. Most didn't truly care about who someone was on the inside. This is the complete opposite of God. 1 Samuel 16:7 tells us, "People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." At that time, what the Lord thought of me seemed less important than what other college-age kids thought of me. I regretfully did turn to a severe eating disorder, which of course caused me to lose weight. Because of this weight loss, I finally felt accepted by the world, though somehow this didn't make me truly happy. Despite knowing that how I was living was wrong, I continued at this carnal, wild lifestyle. I was constantly telling myself this was what fun truly was. At this point, I was still in church ministries, but Pastor did find out that not only was I beginning to be a regular at the bar scene, I was even showing up to my ministries hungover, still in last night's makeup. God tried to wake me up. I knew this would happen. He tried to wake me up by having Pastor call my mother and I into his office. Pastor offered me biblical wisdom and spiritual advice, but I had such a carnal mindset, I didn't want to hear it. Grievously, I downright blatantly told Pastor I'd rather live my life drinking and partying than continuing church ministry. This is rock bottom, right? But wrong. Instead of taking assist from the Lord, I let this reprimand fuel my carnality and my hatred for authority. That's been a hell. I jumped deeper into the world. When I was out in the bar as usual, one night something terrible happened to me. I chose to let this event push me into a deep depression, and I became even more carnal and hard-hearted. At this point, I completely disregarded the Lord's plan for me. I started being involved sexually with boys. I knew this was wrong. I knew I should have been waiting for the sanctity of marriage, as I was certain God had commanded me to do in 1 Corinthians 7. Although I often thought I was having a great time, I truly was spiraling downhill in my carnality and fleshly desires. I cut myself off from my family and all believers who were not joining me at the bars. Out with friends at night, I was a fake, bubbly friend who seemed very happy with her life. In reality, during the day, I was skipping school, losing many jobs, and completely depressed. By this time, almost Christmas of 2008, I had not spoken to my parents for nearly half a year. I had a major daily drinking problem and was too convicted to be dealing with them. One November evening, I got caught for a DUI and deservedly spent the night in jail. This was indeed a slap from the Lord, but instead of correctly responding, I again let my carnality spiral even farther downward, and you would think this would be rock bottom, but not yet. I don't remember all the details, but after my DUI, my dad forcibly moved me back home. I know he was trying to help me get back on the straight and narrow, but I remember sobbing that my freedom was being taken away. As I had lost my driver's license due to my DUI, he now drove me to cosmetology school every morning so I would not be able to skip anymore as I was flunking out. Regretfully, moving home did not help my carnality and strong desire for the world. I still had a major attitude problem and I easily lied to my parents for the next few months about where I was staying and who I was hanging out with. I had absolutely no reserves about stealing money from them to support my daily drinking habit. I continued to spiral downhill in this drinking and bar scene life that I had convinced myself was fun. Sadly, I was blinded by how deeply depressing and seriously out of control my life really was. By now, I had pushed the Lord completely out of my thoughts, as thinking of Him was too convicting to my fleshy lifestyle. One summer day in 2009, I posted on social media that I was stranded alone on the side of a country road due to a flat tire. Obviously, this was very stupid and a dangerous move on my part, but a boy I went to high school with responded to my plea and he came and helped me out. His name was Tom, and we started hanging out because of this. We actually got together in July, but we really had nothing positive in common, so by August we had broken up. However, just a few short weeks after the breakup, found out that I was pregnant, and I was there. Finally, this was rock bottom. I knew that there was no way I could ever abort or even do an adoption, so I confessed to my parents a few days later. My breakup with this kid, Tom, had been so incredibly awful that I was actually really scared of him, and I was in no way ever going to speak to him again. I made it very clear to my family that we were not going to be involving him in this, and I would be handling this on my own. I immediately knew I had nowhere to turn but to God. I had nowhere to go but to humbly fall at my Savior's feet. Within a short time, it was incredibly clear to me that what I actually needed was the Lord. I was sure He was possibly the only one left out there who could even love me. Since I was pregnant and no longer able to drink, every single friend I had quickly disappeared. It was baffling how I could truly feel so alone on this earth yet so happy together with my Heavenly Father. Finding joy in my salvation again was a slow process, and I definitely stumbled many times along the way. I knew I needed to be back in fellowship with the Lord because I now had someone else counting on me to do so, my little baby. Knowing this baby was coming was just what I needed to show me I should desire what God wants for us. I knew I didn't want to be with my baby's dad, which was a whirlwind of emotions. I knew I was having this kid, which meant we would always be more or less in each other's lives, but I absolutely knew God wouldn't want me to be with him. Not only was he not saved, he was a proclaimed atheist who actually had not even once stepped into a church. My family and I, along with a couple close believer friends, started praying for him from afar as we hadn't talked in several months. Even though I knew Tom and I would never be together as a couple, I realized he would forever be in our lives as my child's father. For this reason, we knew we wanted him to get saved, and we prayed for him daily, though I still had not told him that I was pregnant. On Halloween, an acquaintance of mine told a friend of Tom's that I was pregnant, and he tracked me down. Without telling him anything specific over the phone, we agreed to meet in a public place. I told him I was now about 3 months pregnant. He told me he would take responsibility for his child, that he would even help out. This was such a relief. He finally knew about our baby, and so now we could tell even more believers to start praying specifically for him. I was starting to daily taste and see that the Lord was good, and I was so happy in the Lord, growing closer with God, my parents, and other godly believers. Church friends were encouraging me by sharing verses with me. There were many gifts for my coming baby just showing up at our house or appearing in our church mailbox. To this day, one of the biggest testimonies to God's incredible loving grace was when I was about 7 months pregnant. I couldn't have my baby shower in the church, so we had it at the Rice Lake Town Hall. Everyone from church was invited, though I was skeptical anyone would come. Why would they? I had majorly screwed up, and since pregnancy is a consequence to my sin that can physically not be hidden, I knew the entire church knew. However, by God's amazing grace, I had nearly 150 believers show up, and they showed that they too understood truly what God's grace really was. These ladies were demonstrating unconditional love and support to me now that they knew I was looking to the Lord again. I will never forget how encouraging this display of grace and love was to my family and I. These believers were a huge encouragement when encouragement and love were so greatly needed. Unfortunately, I maybe saw Tom about 10 times in the next year. His tune had changed. He and his family were very clear they didn't want to be involved with us. However, once our son Jaden was born, Tom's parents really stepped up to help. I really love how God made sure to have Jaden be a spitting image of what Tom had looked like as a child. It's hard to see, sorry. But so because of this, mini twins of each other, Tom's parents immediately fell in love with their new grandson. I wanted them involved, and they were now very willing to help. I would drop Jaden off to see Tom at his parents' house, though his mom told me that most of the time, Tom never even showed up to see his kid. Admittedly, I was pretty upset with him, but I know my parents and other strong believers never stopped praying for him, despite how I felt. Our baby was 6 months old when Tom deployed overseas for the first time. Even though we weren't talking, I did feel a burden to share the gospel with him, because after all, he was Jaden's dad, and Jaden deserved to have a saved dad. Before he deployed, I went through a Bible and I highlighted all the verses for salvation, along with a detailed yet simple letter on how to be saved. After I gave it to him, he never said anything about it. We just had to pray that he had read it. We rarely spoke in the next year and a half. He continued to refuse to be involved with Jaden, so I really had no reason to talk to him. The benefit of not being distracted by him was that I was free to concentrate on growing in the Lord and raising my little boy. I remember finally thinking I was so happy in the Lord. I came to know true peace and grace in my own life. Jaden and I lived with my parents, who were beyond helpful and encouraging spiritually. During this time, thankfully, my mom refused to give up on Tom. She not only kept praying for him, but was even able to sit down with him once and share a clear gospel message. After this, they began texting verses and questions about salvation back and forth. Sadly, I hated hearing about this. I thought this was just Tom's way of trying to butter up my parents so he would finally seem like a good guy in their eyes. In January of 2012, when Jaden was almost two, I specifically remember Mom and a couple other believers saying they were praising the Lord and they were so happy because Tom had gotten saved. I distinctly remember rolling my eyes and shaking my head at how low this kid would stoop to get people to like him. April of 2012 came around, and I was throwing a second birthday party for Jaden, to which Tom had not been invited. But out of the blue, he showed up. I remember being so upset that I could just cry. I was so protective of Jaden, and I knew this would eventually be confusing to him that Tom would only show up now and again. Little did I know that by this time Tom had been saved for a few months and the Lord had put it on his heart to come. He had driven all the way in from North Dakota where he was living. To his friend who came to the party with him, he had said, "No matter what it takes, I have to get to that party. I know God wants me to marry her." So he bravely came. And after that, he never really left. He was constantly checking in on Jaden and I, sending money to help me out, and even hanging out with and getting to know his little boy. This was a 180-degree change for him. He told me he had gotten saved alone in a quiet field in North Dakota shortly after my mom had talked to him. By May, I knew something was clearly different with him. He continued to be around us as often as he could be. He was loving and pleasant and continued giving me money to help with the cost of being a single parent. I distinctly remember I had told him several times that he needed to back off because for the first time in my life, I was happy in the Lord and I didn't want to be distracted by any man. He knew God was telling him something different, so he didn't listen to me. Since that birthday party, he never gave up being kind and loving to Jaden and I. Everyone who knew him could see he was a changed man. His parents commented on his changes constantly. They told me so many times, "He's 25 now, that's when Hannah boys finally grow up." But they are unsaved, so they could not comprehend that this was actually the work of the Lord. I know many people, and myself, never quit praying for Tom. The first time he attended Duluth Bible Church was Memorial Day of 2012, and it was amazing to see him start to grow in the Lord. By the end of June, he had asked my dad if he could court me. After a few weeks of prayer and discussions, we did decide to go ahead with the courtship relationship. My dad gave us strict rules about no physical intimacy, and we both readily agreed since we knew this is how God would want it. Thankfully, since the Lord knew we would be physically tempted, he kept Tom living in North Dakota the entire time we dated. We had to get to know each other over phone conversations and texting. The physical part of the relationship wasn't even an option. Over the next few months, we grew in the Lord together in our relationship with each other. So by December of 2012, we were engaged. We had many special counsel sessions with my strong Christian parents, and we were married just 5 months later. Now, almost 4 years into our marriage, we are continuing to grow in the Lord together in our relationship with each other and our children. He is my best friend, and it's an amazing experience raising our children with him. God graciously brought us together out of terrible circumstances, which is another example of God's unconditional grace, giving us both what we did not deserve. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God." Even though I went completely astray from what I knew the Lord had planned for my life, he showed me extensive grace beyond what I could have ever imagined. He blessed me when I was the most undeserving. I can look back and see how God had warned me and tried to bring me back to him several times in my carnality, and I had repeatedly refused. Even though I had decided to live for myself and not give a second thought to God, he never left me, as he promised in Hebrews 13:5. He knew about every bad decision I was making, and he constantly had his loving and protective hand on me. Even though Christians can be walking with and desiring to serve the Lord, we will still get major trials. God tells us in Job 23:10 that he tests us so we can come forth as gold. Tom and I struggled with infertility for 2 years when we got married. Although at the time this was a major trial for us, I can look back on those times and see how it helped us grow stronger in the Lord and together as parents to Jaden. So eventually, in God's perfect timing, we had our beloved second son, Jakey, in January of 2016. It was actually a fun and easy transition becoming a family of four. The fall after we had the baby, my mom and I were heading to a Fall Fest event. I was running back inside to grab the baby's pacifier when I slipped and fell. I ended up severely spraining my ankle. I sprained both wrists and I broke both elbows. This was a huge trial in our lives. I now needed 24-hour care from my family for several weeks. And it was extra complicated because I was nursing that little guy down there, and I also was homeschooling our now 6-year-old. By God's grace, believers from church brought us a meal every day for over 2 months. They came over to take care of our kids, clean our house, do our laundry, and they prayed for quick healing. It was during this time, as a surprise from the Lord, I found out we were already pregnant with our third son. However, at my first prenatal checkup, we were told that we had lost our baby. The first feelings I felt were of guilt. Instead of resting in the Lord, I wanted to cry and blame myself for all the x-rays and pain meds I had needed because of my broken arms. Thankfully, Tom reminded me we had nowhere to turn but to the Lord. God was in control, not me. The next week was a time of resting in the Lord, nonstop praying and leaning on God before we found out that somehow, by miracle of miracles, our baby was growing strong and healthy after all. By God's grace, this baby Joseph is due in about 10 weeks, Lord willing. I can never say during trials that I am loving them. However, I can usually look back and see how God is using them to nudge Tom and I closer to Him. I can always say I am so thankful for His amazing, unconditionally flowing grace. I am constantly thrilled and surprised how God can still love me after how many times in my life I've screwed up. I am here to remind you that if you have screwed up as well, God has not left your side. He is holding your hand, protecting you, and trying to bring your focus back to Him. One of my favorite verses over the past couple decades has always been Isaiah 41:13. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, "Do not fear, I will help you." As believers, we know these promises. Even so, that is no reason to try out the world for yourself. I implore you to please never have the attitude, "Well, it worked out fine for her. I see no harm in doing the same." No. I knew I was going against God's perfect plan for me. I, in my carnality, made things so hard and difficult for myself and my first son because of all my foolish choices. When you could be living a life that is happy and in fellowship with God, you should never choose to throw that away for just a little temporary pleasure. Hebrews 11:25b even mentions that there is pleasure in sin for a season, but that fleeting moment of so-called pleasure you may find in the world is not worth it. I praise the Lord that I know from Scripture I was never in danger of losing my salvation. There are several passages like John 3:16 and 1 John 5:13 that tell us clearly, once you are saved, you are always saved. This is yet another example of God graciously giving us what we do not deserve. I had, however, lost the joy of my salvation, as David talks about in Psalms 51:12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Now that the joy of my salvation and my fellowship with God was restored, I can't imagine how I thought that living for the world and myself, that I would be happier. How foolish. I'm so happy when I'm in fellowship with my amazing Lord and Savior and growing in Him. He is real. His love is real. His grace is real. And His peace is real. I can speak from experience that walking with Him, not bucking Him, is the only way to be truly happy. In my future, there will be many more times that I screw up, just as there will be many more trials in my life. Thankfully, God promises He will be giving me these trials for His purpose, and He will be there holding me every time I stumble and fall. I'm so incredibly thankful for my Lord and Savior and how He saw fit to show unconditional grace to a major screw-up like me. Oh, yeah.